second chapter. Revelation chapter 22 this morning. We're going to read a passage of scripture in just a moment, probably verses 6 through 21. That'll be just a little bit later. We're going to talk about the coming of the Lord today. And Jesus tells us here in this passage of scripture that he's coming. It's all through the Bible about his second coming, and I believe he's coming soon. And I don't know when, but I suspect it's going to be pretty quick. And it will be quick in the eyes of God nonetheless. After church, where the little girl had been taught about the second coming of Christ, she was quizzing her mother. "Mommy, do you believe that Jesus will come back?" "Yes, I believe that." "Well, could he come back this week?" "Yes." "Could he come back today?" "Yes." "Could he come back in the next hour?" She says, "Yes." "Well then, Mommy, would you comb my hair?" So what's that saying? So if he's coming back, I want to be ready. I want to be ready. And that probably should be the church's response also to a message, or even to your salvation, is that you want to be ready when the Lord comes. He's coming soon. Did you know that most newspapers use, for astounding events, they use what they call second coming type? Did you know that? When you see something special in the news and they want you to really get your attention, they'll have this big, bold type. Have you ever noticed that? You've seen it, if some of you, well, I don't know if anybody here was around when World War II ended, but if you were, you've seen this bold type: the war has ended, the war is over, whatever, Japan has surrendered. And I remember seeing those headlines. I wasn't alive, but I've seen those pictures of those papers. And I remember when the post office bombing or the killing, the massacre at Edmond, I remember the paper was out immediately that afternoon, and as hawking that paper all over every corner in Oklahoma City. I was downtown, and you know, and they had big bold letters: "Massacre at Edmond Post Office." And then 911, when that poor disillusioned souls, we're not sure they were Muslims, but anyway, the poor disillusioned souls, when they crashed into the trade towers in New York City, what happened? The newspaper boldly proclaimed in second coming type. We've been, you know, about those attacks. So we see that type attack stuff. So anytime there's a dramatic event, there's bold type in our papers. So one day, men are going to witness the greatest coming, the greatest happening ever to take place in the world, and that's the second coming of Christ. Now, that's going to come out that day in second coming bold letters: "Millions have disappeared." President to speak about the disappearance shortly. You know, they'll be trying to come up with all kinds of answers. They're going to be bumfuzzled. What's that mean, preacher? I mean, they're going to be confused. But the church won't be. The real church won't be confused, nor will we be here to read the headlines, because we'll be gone. He'll literally come back to the planet that he left over 2,000 years ago. I believe it's going to be very soon. I believe he needs to get our attention, and we need to pay attention to what's going on around us even today, because Jesus is coming. As sure as he lived, he's coming back again. The early Christians were eager for his return. They looked for it. They longed for it. They expected it. And part of the reason for that was that they were experiencing persecution. When John wrote the book of Revelation, the church was under persecution around the Roman Empire. They had instituted emperor worship, so every emperor, the Caesars, were considered gods. And if you didn't worship them, you weren't worshiping properly. You were commanded to bow down to Rome and to bow down to the Caesar. And you, if you didn't do that, you would be crucified, or you'd be killed, or put into the Roman Colosseums to be tortured by different means. I've read things about that. I don't want to go into detail, but lots of things happened to the Christians in the Roman Colosseums. things that you, unspeakable things happen during that time. So they were longing for and looking for and expecting Jesus to come. I was reading, and I've been reading the first five books of the Bible and starting our Bible study reading for this year. And if you read in there, you'll see where the children of Israel, just like us, have been led out of bondage. They were led out of bondage. God promised them a great land, a land flowing milk and honey, a place where they'd live and grow and raise their crops and serve Him. And I know it's a little different for us today, but He led us out of spiritual bondage, and we're headed to a place that He's promised, a promised land. We've been wandering in the wilderness similar to them for a long time. But what I wanted to bring to your attention was this. Immediately after He got them out of there, He delivered them. They got saved, so to speak. They started turning their backs on Him, grumbling and complaining and wondering, will we ever get there? And then He gave them food and they grumbled about the food. So He gave them more food and they grumbled about the food. Moses went up on the mountain to get the commandments of God, and they built a false god out of their jewelry. Isn't that the church today? Jesus is coming soon. He's delivered us from bondage into His marvelous light, but yet we are playing. Sometimes the church plays. We're not sincere about our relationship with Him. Oh, yes, I want to be a Christian. Yes, I want to go to heaven, but I want to do what I want to do while I'm doing, while I'm here and on the journey. It doesn't work that way. So we need to be careful. They waited with eager expectation for the coming of the Lord. It was a word of hope. It was a word of encouragement. And it was a word that would see them through. Church, the Bible teaches us that that is our blessed hope, the coming of the Lord. That's what gives you strength. That's what gives you the ability to stand under pressure. Because you know that if you'll just hang on just a little bit longer, Jesus is coming. It'll all be over with. The trials will be done. Everything that you've worked for will come to fruition. You've lived for God for a long time, or maybe you've lived for God for a short time. But whatever, no matter how long it's been, you're going to face trials and temptations and tribulation on earth, and you're going to know it's going to be over. And it'll be worth it. And it'll be worth it. So that's a word of encouragement today. We face problems in this life. There's no way around it. Absolutely no way around problems. And some of you today are sitting here with problems that just seem like they're insurmountable. They seem like you can't overcome them. But you can. But you can. I hope I didn't lose my... Oh, that's not a white one, but anyway, it absorbs. A little too much information, correct? Have you ever lifted your eyes to the sky and wondered, is this the day that the Lord could come? Have you ever just took the time to really try to imagine what heaven's going to be like when He does come? I don't think we will ever be able to really grasp how beautiful heaven's going to be and how great it's going to be free of trials and tribulation and heartache and pain and all the sorrow that's here in this life. As good as it is, there's still sorrow and still pain and there's still heartache. And I don't know if we can really grasp how great that's going to be and how good it's going to feel to have that burden lifted away. Well, preacher, didn't we our burden lift when the Lord saved us? Yeah, I believe it did. But that this burden of living life in this world and trying to doing your best to live for God is going to be lifted. You're not going to have that strain no more when you get to heaven. It's going to be beautiful there. Heaven's a beautiful place, by the way, and I've never been there, nor I've had dreams about it, but never had one of those vivid dreams like some. I've never had an out-of-body experience where I went to heaven for a little while like some say they have, and I haven't had that. I haven't experienced that. But I believe it's real, and I believe it's beautiful, and I believe it's worth striving for. And I believe Jesus is worth living for. Amen? I believe that. So let's read our text today, Revelations chapter 22, verses 6 through 21. And then we're going to talk, give you 3 points out of that to this morning. I hope will encourage you just a little bit. And He said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show unto his servants the things which must be done, shortly be done. Now this is the words of Jesus next. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he said unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. You might ought to underline that. I said, don't seal the book, the sayings of this book. The time is at hand. What's that say to you? It says to me that it can happen any time. What's written in this book can take place at any moment. But it's been 2,000 years. I don't care. It can happen at any moment. Don't seal it up. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book, this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, and that's Jesus, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And then the last verse, of course, says, The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. First point I want to make this morning is this. He says, Behold, I am coming. Jesus said he was coming. Three times this statement is made. Behold, I am coming. Jesus is coming. He proclaimed it, he declared it, he meant it. He's coming again. Jesus said it twice in verses 7 and verse 12 in this scripture that I read. Once from the mouth of the angel in verse 10, the time is near, the angel of God said. The time is near. I believe the time is still near, nearer than, well, of course it's nearer than when we first believed, but it's so much closer than I thought. Believe that we believe. I think if we really believed that Jesus was coming today, we would be like the little girl and we would be making sure that our wedding garment was on. Not only was it on, it was pressed. There was no soil, nothing soiled about it, nothing wrong with it, that everything was in place, everything was ready. We'd have the oil in our lamps waiting for the bridegroom's cry. That doesn't mean that you would lay down your work tools and not do any work. It doesn't mean that you would stop living life, but you would live life with an anticipation that Jesus could call at any moment and you would go with him. So you would be ready to go. See, the folks at the wedding supper, they were going about their daily duties, but they kept the lamp, the oil in their lamps in case the bridegroom called at night, so they could light the light. But that's a picture of the church. We got to keep the Holy Spirit in our life. We got to stay saved, stay where we need to be with God. Jesus is coming soon. Behold, I am coming, he says. It's been over 2,000 years since he's come and gone. Over 2,000 years. That seems like such a long time to wait on someone to fulfill their promise. But the Bible says, and we read it here, that there's no liars, or whoever loves and makes a lie won't be in heaven. So Jesus certainly is not a liar. He's there. He's our Savior. He's not lying when he says, I am coming, and my reward's with me. So he's coming again, and I know we're waiting on him to come, but sometimes it seems so difficult, but he's coming. Peter spoke of these things in reference to Jesus Christ when people would ask in 2 Peter 3:4, it says, where is the coming he promised? They said, Peter, we've heard about this since we were little kids. He hadn't came yet. Where's the promise? Well, he's coming. He promised. He's coming back. I don't know when, but I know he's coming soon. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:8, it says, "What with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is just one day." So it's only been a couple of days since he left. Think about that for a moment. It hadn't been very long. Jesus told us, so I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again and receive you. That's not exact quotation, but you got John 14, and he's going to come again one day. And he prepared a place for us. Count on it. Bank on it. It's real. He's coming again. So we know it's going to come. And the word soon literally means suddenly. Suddenly, he's coming again. And he said, behold, I am coming. Suddenly he's going to come. I mean, and not necessarily in a reaction to it's not necessarily in reference to a period of time in which will take place, but so it's more in reference to the action itself. I'm coming. Behold, I am coming. Suddenly I'm coming. Eventually I'll be here. Literally, suddenly I'll be here. Can you imagine what it's going to feel like when you're, the trump of God sounds, you hear that blast and it gets your attention, you look towards the sky, and about the time you look towards the sky, gravity loses its hold, and you're being catapulted, I don't know, supernaturally into the presence of the Lord. Can you imagine how that must, have you ever felt ecstasy? I mean, you know, felt so overjoyed. It's going to be beyond anything you've ever experienced here when Jesus calls us home. And he's going to do it soon. He's going to come without prior notice. All the notice we need is already written in the Word of God. All the encouragement we need is already written in the Word. And he tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:2, he's going to come like a thief in the night. He's going to come like them rascals that stole the ATM down here at the store the other night. He's going to come in the middle. He's not going to come during the day and walk in and say, the manager's name's Martha. Then, Martha, I'm getting ready to steal that ATM. You just step back. We're going to get it here in just a moment. They didn't do that. They didn't come in there and tell her they was going to steal that. They came in the middle of the night, threw a brick through the window, tied a chain on it, and jerked it out of there. I mean, you know, you don't steal nothing in the middle in the daytime. I never did steal gas in the day when I was a kid. I stole it at night. I'm glad that you didn't know I stole gas. Virgil made me do it, Mother. I said that just for your sake. You probably heard that story a dozen times, haven't you? It was Virgil and Johnny. They were the oldest. It was their fault. Wasn't mine. I was just 14. It's going to be in the middle of the night when you're unexpected. Not expecting it. It's when he's coming. He's coming again. He is coming again. He's going to come suddenly. We shouldn't say, I wonder when he's coming. We should say, will I be ready when he does? Be more concerned about your spiritual well-being than you are about the timing of it. Some people are so caught up in when he's coming, because you know why? One of the reasons that is because they're hoping there's enough signs of his return that they can get ready. Well, there's not going to be enough time. He's going to come as a thief in the night. He's going to come unexpectedly. He's going to come suddenly. You probably won't have time to get ready. You have to have your wedding garment on, even when you lay your head down at night. Spiritually speaking, it's on all the time. You don't take it off for certain activities. You leave it on all the time. You're ready. Constantly ready. So I don't feel ready. Well, I'll tell you how to get that garment pressed and cleaned. You don't take it to Finley Cleaners in Shawnee. You bring it to an old-fashioned altar. You lay your little self down on that altar and say, Lord, wash me, cleanse me, press me, make my garment ready. That's how you do it. And you need to do it. If you're not saved today, you need to get saved. Many years ago, and some of you may remember this, some of you, there was, and I've heard about this program and read about it, but there was an Orson Welles produced a radio drama of an imaginary attack from outer space. I mean, remember that. And I've heard about it, and I've even heard it. And a student at Campbell College in North Carolina turned on his radio midway through the program and didn't realize he was hearing a fictitious report. When the announcer vividly had described fire falling from the earth upon the earth, a student recalled some of the sermons that he had heard from his boyhood, and that the end of the world was going to come. He grabbed the telephone and he called home saying, Mama, do you have your radio on? The fire is falling, the end of the world is coming, and I'm not ready to meet God. The next morning, he was subject of a lot of jokes and teasing around the campus. But in chapel service, a godly Bible teacher took the podium and said, I understand that one of you boys have taken a lot of ribbing because you got scared listening to the radio program last night. But young men and women, what if it had truly been the end of the world last night? Would you be ready? Would you have been ready? And that's something for all of us to ask ourselves today. If Jesus was to come suddenly, would we be ready? Would you? I can't answer that question today, but Jesus said, I am coming. Secondly, he said, behold, I am coming for you. I'm coming for you. That ought to make your heart glad just to think that Jesus is speaking expressively to you. So, well, that's written a long time ago, and it's, you know, a lot of people have read that, a lot of people have believed it, some have not believed it, and how can he say it's for me? Well, this book, although it reaches multiple generations and goes through centuries here, is still a personal book written to us, to whosoever will. And I believe he's written to us. There's no better feeling, is there, in the world to feel like you're needed or wanted by somebody? All of us have that need in our life that we want somebody to want us, somebody to need us, somebody to enjoy being around us. Everybody has that need, I think, don't you? Am I the only one? I want somebody to want to, I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for a wife that didn't want to be around me. So before I married her, I found out whether she wanted to be around me. Of course, after I married her, she realized she might not have meant it. Because I was on my best behavior before we got married. Well, most of y'all were too. Don't look at me like that. You know you were. You didn't get angry. You wasn't mean before you got married, were you? Okay. Was she expressing that she was mean to you, or were you mean to her? I mean, we're just going to leave that alone right there. But everybody wants, it's a good feeling to think that you're needed or wanted or loved. Everybody wants to be loved and needed by somebody. The fact of the matter is this, Jesus loves you personally. He loves you enough that he wants you to be with him always. He died so that you could be him always. And he says here, behold, I'm coming for you. I'm coming for you. Why? Because I love you. I've loved you forever. I haven't stopped loving you. Let me say, there's an old song by George Jones. He stopped loving her today. She died, you know, so he finally stopped loving her today. Well, Jesus died a long time ago to express his love forever. Forever. His dying didn't stop his love at all He still loves you. And He died because He loved you. He died because He wanted you to be in heaven with Him. He died because He was going to prepare a place that you could be with Him. A glorious place called heaven. He's there now, seated at the right hand of the Father, the Bible says, making intercession for you so that you can go there with Him. He wants you to be there. And so He's coming back for us. And so that's Jesus is coming for those who keep the words of the prophecy. Verse 7, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keep the sayings of the prophecy of this book. He's coming for those who keep His word. Chapter 1, verse 3, we see a similar statement which says, blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take heart to what is written, because the time is near. Starting out in Revelation, the very first chapter, said the time is near. It's a lot nearer than it was then. A lot nearer than it was when they boiled John in oil. A lot nearer than when they throwed Him out on that island of Patmos where He wrote this. And He believed He was coming in His lifetime. I believe He's coming in mine. He might not, but I believe He is. I was about 11 years old, and I had a dream of Jesus coming. I mean, I believed it. I mean, I turned my Beatle music off for a whole week because I believed Jesus was coming. No, I had this dream. We was going to Free Holiness Church over at Payton, and man, I mean, Curly Mayfield and them guys preached about the coming of the Lord, and I got to believing it. I believed it. He's coming. And I dream about it. He's coming. And I still believe that dream is real. He's coming. I couldn't tell you the details of that dream today. I just know He's coming again. And He put that in a little preteen boy's heart that Jesus is coming. And so I still believe He's coming again. And I want to go with Him, don't you? I know it's we're facing the unknown. I know we haven't been there before. But you know what? Even this life we're facing the unknown. I've never traveled this way before. I've never been this old before. Tomorrow will be a day older. But I've never experienced tomorrow yet. So I don't know what I'm going to experience tomorrow. I have some plans today for what I'm going to do tomorrow. But I don't know for sure if I'll get to do what I have planned. I'm looking forward to next week because I think we're going to have a birthday party. We go to birthday parties, we'll get to eat. There's cake and ice cream. So I'm looking forward to it. But I might not make it. You might not make it. Y'all haven't been invited, by the way. But we might not make it till Thursday. Jesus may come. Or Christ may say, God may say, your time's up. We may expire before next Thursday. And either way, you better be ready. You better be ready. Because once you're gone, you're going to meet God and give account for everything. Except for those things that are covered by the blood. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the blood. It cleanses from all unrighteousness. Thank you for the blood. So we've got to hold on. Just a little bit longer. We don't know what we're going to face tomorrow. We don't know what's going to come our way, but we must hold on just a little bit longer. There's a great message there today. Little Sally stood in front of her parents who were lined up behind a cash register in a supermarket, and a midget-sized adult walked by. Sally overheard her mama tell her father in an audible whisper, "It's the genes that make the difference." A few days later, a little boy at school asked a teacher why some people didn't grow like everybody else and remained midgets. Before the teacher could answer, Sally raised her hand, stood up, proudly said, "It's because they wear tight blue jeans." When in reality, we know that that has nothing to do with your physical stature. But it does determine our spiritual stature. Jesus is not coming for those whose robes are soiled or spotted. He's coming for those who have washed their robes in the Lamb's blood. Like I said earlier, He's coming for those. That's who He's coming for. You better get ready. You better get ready. All of our robes have been stained with sin. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So how do we get them removed? Isaiah 1 verse 18 says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. For though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool." God removes the scarlet stains of sin and the secret sins that we may even have by washing them clean in the blood of Christ. Aren't you glad for that today? 1 Peter 2:24 says, "He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By His wounds we have been healed." What do you mean by that? I mean you've not only been physically healed, you've been spiritually made whole. That's how you get ready for the coming of the Lord. He's coming for you. I want to ask you today, have you washed your robe? Have you been immersed in Christ's blood? Have you turned yourself and turned from yourself and turned to God? Are you ready for Christ's coming? I believe the majority of us here are. I'm not here to judge any of you today. If you're being judged, it's be by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit dealing with you today. If you're not right, I encourage you to get right. I can't save you, but the blood of Jesus can. Jesus can save you. Jesus is coming for those who have answered the call to come. There's a call you answer, and that's when you come to become a born-again Christian. He deals with you. He calls you. You come. And then you're ready for the coming of the Lord. And so the Holy Spirit says come. The church says come. Believers in Christ say come. God's invitation to life eternal is universal. No matter what you're facing today, it's for you. No matter where you're at in life, the saving grace is for you. And God's saying, come. 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 It's a call to salvation. Thirdly, it's the behold. He says, "I come with my reward." Jesus says, "I'm coming with my reward." Verse 12 says, "My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done." I don't know about you, but I can say about me sometimes, I wonder if I'll have anything left up there by the time I get through living. What are you saying? Well, I feel like I fail Him so often that there's a lot of stuff probably been taken away from me. That's what I mean. I don't think I deserve anything from God. I really don't. I feel so, I don't know what the word I want to look for, but not inadequate, but so unworthy of anything that God could give me. Any reward that He might give me in heaven, any place of service in the millennial that He might give, I figure I'm probably going to be cleaning toilets. I don't feel worthy of a reward, but I know He's bringing it with Him, and He's promised it. Whether I get anything or not, I want to go to heaven. That's enough. That's enough for me. I just want to make it. Church, I'm not ignorant to your struggles. I'm not oblivious most everybody struggles living for God. People have temptations and trials and situations, and my goodness, we do too. I'm not oblivious to that fact. I struggle like you do. But I don't get to sit and listen to a great sermon like y'all do. I never said humility was my greatest point. I'm just kidding. I got to get up here and preach one. As good as I can preach after I've struggled all week like you struggle. Now, I'm not trying to get any pity here today. I want you to understand, I know what you're going through. I know the difficulties of living for God. I know the temptation that comes from the enemy. And I have to fight it like you do. But it's a fight worth fighting. Jesus says, I'm coming with my reward. And I want whatever God has. I don't know what He's going to give out for sure. I just know that He's going to give them to us because He loves us. I'm glad for that today. And the greatest reward anybody can get is to be in the presence of God. And to be in the presence of Jesus Christ, our Savior. I kid about this every once in a while. We're going to be there a long, long time. You understand that, don't you? Eternity is something that you and I cannot even begin to understand. So there's probably going to be a pretty long line. How many loves lines? You like to go to Walmart and stand in line. You go to the line that's the longest. We'll spend 10 minutes trying to find a short line. Do you do that? Go up and down. Is that in shorter? And she'll get in one. I said, hang on right there. I'm going to go find a shorter one. Then I'll get over there. I said, over here, over here. When I say over here, 10 other people come crawling down there. I hate lines. When I get to heaven, I probably won't care how long that line is. I want to see Jesus. I want to see the one who died for me. I'm not going to go up to him and say, Jesus, I'm ready for my reward. I think I'm going to go and grasp him around the legs, kneel down at his feet and grasp him around his legs and say, thank you, Jesus. I'm probably going to look him in the eyes and say, I didn't think I'd make it. I didn't think I'd be here. Come on now. But he says, I'm going to bring my reward with me. I'm going to have it for you. There was a little boy and he accompanied his mother to church and they stopped for a sandwich along the way. And the boy ran out of time before he could finish his sandwich and his mother insisted they leave so they wouldn't be late. So the little boy stuffed that sandwich in his pocket and to be finished later. That evening, the preacher spoke about the ability of God to be all places at each and every given moment. And the little boy bowed his head as the preacher was speaking and said, God, if you're in my pocket, don't eat my sandwich. We know God's in all places at all times. And sometimes I just want to reach out, like I said, I just want to touch him. But I can't touch him tangibly like I could walk up and hug my wife or shake your hand and hug your neck. I can't touch him like that right now. But one day, we're going to see Jesus. I want to be like John when he said in 1 John 1:1, I've seen Jesus with mine own eyes. I've heard him speak. And I touched him with my own hands. John was a privileged person. He got to see him. He got to touch him. He got to hear him talk. I don't know what Jesus is going to sound like. I really don't know what he's going to look like. The pictures, the depictions of him are probably not accurate. Just probably not. But I want to see Jesus. And I want to tell you something. When I see him, I'll know him. When I see him, I'll know him. I'm ready to see Jesus. I want to eat from the tree of life. I want to sit down and rest just a little while. I look forward to going through the gates of pearl, seeing the walls of jasper, being in a place where the Son of God is the light of the city. Looking forward to it one day soon. In conclusion, Jesus is coming again. I can't tell you when. I can tell you this, though. He's coming suddenly. He's coming for you. And he has his reward. Jesus is coming again. I wanted to close with this little story. I know I said in conclusion, but now I'm closing. What will he say when he shouts? The question took me by surprise. I had already found that West African Bible College students can ask some of the most penetrating questions about minute details of Scripture. Reverend, 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says that Christ will descend from heaven with a shout, with a loud command, a loud shout. I would like to know what that command will be. I want to leave the question unanswered, to tell him that we must not go past what Scripture has revealed. But my mind wandered to an encounter I had had earlier in the day with a refugee from the Liberian Civil War. The man, a high school principal, told me how he was apprehended by a two-man death squad. After several hours of terror, as the men described how they would torture and kill him, he narrowly escaped. After hiding in the bush for 2 days, he was able to find his family and escape to a neighboring country. The escape cost him dearly. Two of his children lost their lives. The stark cruelty unleashed on an unsuspecting, undeserving population had touched me deeply. I also saw flashbacks of the beggars that I pass each morning on my way to the office. Every day, I see how poverty destroys dignity, robs men of the best of what it means to be a human, and sometimes substitutes the worst of what it means to be an animal. I am haunted by the vacant eyes of people who have lost all hope. Reverend, you've not given me an answer. What will he say? The question hadn't gone away. Enough! I said with a shout. Enough! When he returns, a look of surprise opened the face of the student. What do you mean, enough? Enough suffering. Enough starvation. Enough terror. Enough death. Enough indignity. Enough lives trapped in hopelessness. Enough sickness. Enough disease. Enough time. Enough! One day, Jesus is going to step out. The shout's going to be, enough! And the church is going to go be with Christ. Are you ready for Christ to come today? Amen. Enough! It's time. And the church should say, I'm ready. I'm ready. Stand to your feet. Like I said earlier, I don't pretend to know where you stand spiritually. Just because I give an altar call doesn't mean that I think everybody here is not saved. I just want to give everybody here an opportunity, if you're not saved, to be saved. An opportunity to come and know Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. Without that, you will not go to heaven. No hope whatsoever of making it. Some like to think that they could go through the tribulation and they could come through as one of those persecuted saints. I don't want it. If you can't live for God now, why in the world would you think you could do it then? That's my thinking. You can't stand for Him now. How are you going to stand when they say either you denounce Christ or we're going to cut your little kid's head off? Come on now. It's going to happen. Things are going to happen. It's going to be ugly. Real ugly. So heads bowed, eyes closed. If you don't know Christ today, this is your day. This is your opportunity. The Spirit of the Lord is here. The anointing of God is dealing with you through the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is saying through that Spirit, come. Come.